Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees, the SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Today is the last day for California's Attorney General Kamala Harris to sign on to a $25 billion settlement with 5 of the nation's largest mortgage servicers. Officials with the Obama administration are reportedly leaning on the biggest holdouts, including California, to grant the president an election year coup. But Harris has criticized the deal as too soft on the banks. In a statement last night, she wrote, quote, "We are closer now than we've been before, but we're not there yet." The mayor of the city of Lancaster in northern L.A. County is taking a defiant stance against a lawsuit filed by the NAACP. The suit accuses 2 cities, Lancaster and Palmdale, of trying to drive out people, most of them black, who settled in the Antelope Valley with the help of federally subsidized housing. Palmdale settled with the plaintiffs last week, but the case is not over, as Los Angeles Bureau Chief Chrissy Clark reports.
The housing program known as Section 8 was designed to give low-income families more choices about where to live. In Los Angeles County, many left crowded urban housing projects and moved to suburban Lancaster and Palmdale, places where you can rent a comfortable house with a yard for relatively cheap. But civil rights attorney Catherine Lehman says those 2 cities didn't want all the Section 8 newcomers.
Both cities had complained that participants were, quote, swarming the communities. Both cities had said they wanted to reduce the number of Section 8 participants in the communities.
Last summer, Lehman filed suit on behalf of the NAACP and Section 8 recipients, most who are black or Latino, alleging racial discrimination by local authorities. The suit points to a pattern of intimidation, harassment, and wrongful eviction of Section 8 families, like Palmdale resident Farrow Mitchell. He says a few years ago, a housing inspector and a dozen sheriff's deputies raided his house without a warrant.
And they took everybody out of the house and made them sit outside the house for hours. And when they couldn't find anything wrong, they called Children's Services on us and tried to have our children taken away.
All we're trying to do is build a quality of life in our community.
Tom Lackey is a city councilman for Palmdale. Late last week, his city resolved its part of the lawsuit, agreeing, among other things, to stop hiring extra investigators to keep watch on Section 8 homes. But Lackey says,
I think that this case does nothing but verify the fact that we have done nothing wrong and we don't belong in this lawsuit.
Meanwhile, in the neighboring city of Lancaster, the lawsuit is still very much alive. Mayor R. Rex Paris, who's called Section 8 a plague on the city that's increased crime, issued a statement saying Palmdale's settlement, quote, gives comfort to criminals. For the California Report, I'm Chrissy Clark in Los Angeles.
Last year, Governor Jerry Brown proposed closing down all state-run youth prisons and eliminating the state's division of juvenile justice. There were 11 youth prisons. There are now only 3, as counties have taken responsibility for the better part of roughly 10,000 offenders under the age of 26. But the last 1,100 young inmates still in state hands require a lot of careful attention. As we hear from Susan Ferris, the lead juvenile justice reporter at the Center for Public Integrity in Washington, D.C.
Some of the counties do have very strong objections to this idea of completely closing down the remaining 3 facilities that the state runs. There are some that are in agreement with this plan, but there are others that say that they're concerned about how they can handle these wards who are of a higher level offender. They're in for violent crimes, gang-related killings, sex offenses.
So the kids who are left in state hands, they're more violent and they're also more expensive.
Yes, they are. The state costs are about $200,000 per ward, which is quite high. And the state has said for some time, with growing budget deficits, it's the kind of cost they simply can't afford. And plus, these facilities have long been called by critics expensive failures. In other words, they cost a lot of money and their results haven't been very good at all. The recidivism rate is in the range of 70 to 80%, at least it has been in the past. And that has fueled a movement to to look for alternatives.
Prosecutors in some counties have said that they're more likely to try a lot of juveniles as adults and send them to adult state prison if the alternative is sending these kids to county facilities.
That's right. They've made that very plain. They made it plain last year that if they face the prospect of having to keep the higher level offenders in local facilities, then they may feel they have no choice but to try them as adults and see if they can send them to adult prison.
Is it considered by people who are not district attorneys a good idea to put youth offenders in adult state prisons?
There is growing consensus that this is a very counterproductive a move to make with youth offenders, that rearrest and reoffending of youths is greater if you put them in adult facilities, that they simply get introduced more to hardened felons and that they will learn more and go out in the street and it doesn't rehabilitate them.
Lawmakers have till June 15th to come up with a decision. Who are the big players? Where do we see this issue moving?
Well, I think the corrections officers are going to be a big player. They're meeting to talk about this, they told me, in mid-February internally. And obviously, the District Attorneys Association is going to be big. County representatives and the probation officers are going to be big players in this. And then you're going to have the juvenile justice advocates. And there are some that would prefer to not completely do away with the Division of Juvenile Justice at the state level and all the facilities. You know, I think they feel like if there's a cloud to a budget deficit, it's one that surrounds money. There's not the money here to pay $200,000 a year in costs.
Susan Ferris, thank you for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Susan Ferris is the lead juvenile justice reporter at the Center for Public Integrity. She blogs, we've got a link, at our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Monday, February 6th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URSCorp.com. The SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The world standard for solar, sunpowersolar.com. And the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org.